Okay, as always, the Torah should be later than Shmas Sugash and Rinabari late. This week, Parshas B'Shalach, Klal Yisrael, having left Mitzrayim or leaving Mitzrayim, arrive at the Yam Suf, being chased by the Mitzrayim, enter into the Yam Suf, and subsequently sing Shira. The men sing Shira, the women sing Shira. Klal Yisrael then have to be forced away from the Yam Suf. And Moshe Rabbeinu takes them to a place called Mara. And in that place called Mara, there's nothing to drink, they are thirsty, they're in the Midbar already for 3 days without any water. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows Moshe Rabbeinu how to remedy this water, which was so distasteful, in order for Klal Yisrael to be able to have it. Then they give him the mon, and eventually we end up with Milchemes Amalek. That's the parasha in a nutshell. When Klal Yisrael was standing by the Yam Suf, and they saw not only the Mitzrayim coming towards them, but they saw the Malach of Mitzrayim descending to help the Mitzrayim, and Klal Yisrael were petrified. The Targum Yonis of Menuziel tells us there were different groups in Klal Yisrael. Some were complaining to Moshe, some were davening. Al Kopanim, Klal Yisrael were there. The Gemara in Sota tells us in Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, Kesher Omdu Yisrael al Hayom, when Klal Yisrael stood on the banks of the Yam Suf. Just before going further, this, I may have said this in the past years, but it's important to reiterate it and show how important this is. Let's try and visualize in our mind's eye, what it was. Klal Yisrael at the beginning of this parasha are led by an Onon and by an Amud Eish. An Amud Onon and an Amud Eish. How big was the Amud Onon and the Amud Eish? And we're so used to thinking of the Amud Onon and Amud Eish as two little pillars, because the the pictures that we have from Cheder, from nursery school, were of a little pillar of fire and a little pillar of cloud. That's what led Klal Yisrael in the Midbar.
Well, they blocked the whole armies from each other.
Oh, let's just try and imagine how big this Amud Eish and Amud Onon were. Klal Yisrael, when they camped in the Midbar, the Gemara tells us their encampment, which was circling around the Mishkan, was an encampment of 12 mil by 12 mil. 12 mil by 12 mil. 12 kilometers by 12 kilometers. Was the perimeter of Klal Yisrael's encampment in the Midbar. Let's say there was no Mishkan yet, so they weren't spread out in that formation, and it wasn't as wide and as deep as when they were in the Midbar. But they were here, certainly close to 3 million people at least, who had left Mitzrayim, each person with 10 camels laden with Bizas Mitzrayim, before they even came to Bizas Hayom, and they are on the shores of the Yam Suf, ready to cross. Klal Yisrael are there. Safe to say, okay, they're not in camp, they're not in tents, they're not spread out, so they're more clamped together. So let's reduce it by half. 6 mil by 6 mil, I think safe to say. Klal Yisrael took up at least that amount. 6 kilometers by 6 kilometers, 36 kilometers squared. And there was an Amud Eish at the front of them, which gave sufficient light for everyone in the 6 kilometers by 6 kilometers. That wasn't a little pillar of fire. The Amud Onon, which normally would sink into the ground after the Amud Eish had ascended, on this evening of Shvi'i Shel Pesach didn't descend into the ground. Instead, it went behind Klal Yisrael for two purposes. One was to act as a barrier, to boomerang back all the missiles and ammunition that were being hurled towards Klal Yisrael. The second reason was to block out the light, that it should be completely dark for the Mitzrayim. So that Amud Eish, had it not being blocked out by the Amud Onon, the Amud Eish was sufficient, was big enough to give sufficient light for 6 mil by 6 mil, let's say, plus the whole army of Mitzrayim that was chasing behind, the mammoth army that was chasing after Klal Yisrael. Kol Recha Mitzrayim, Shalishim Al Kuloi, and the soldiers, all of them. And the Amud Onon was big enough that when that went behind Klal Yisrael, it completely blocked out the light, that the Mitzrayim couldn't see a thing. How tall must that have been? And how wide must that Amud Onon have been? It wasn't just an Amud Onon, a little pillar. It was a mammoth cloud that stood miles wide and high in order to prevent any light going back from the Mitzrayim. Let's give us a clarity of understanding. Klal Yisrael being led by an Amud Onon and Amud Eish. They were being led by this massive thing that was miles long and high. And that's what led them by day and by night. It also gives us a bit of understanding that when the Chet HaEgel happened, Moshe Rabbeinu ascended Har Sinai at the end of 40 days, the Satan showed Moshe Rabbeinu being transported in a coffin. The whole Bilbil came to the world. Besides that, the Malbim says, the Amud Onon and the Amud Eish that went to accompany Moshe Rabbeinu went onto Har Sinai, disappeared on that day as part of the Nisoyim. So Klal Yisrael have had this Malach Hashem leading them in the form of a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire that was not just a pillar, it was this mammoth piece of something tangible that reminded them about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who suddenly went. So obviously they were mevulgal. But more than that, at the beginning of this week's parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu is told to tell Klal Yisrael, go and tell Klal Yisrael, V'yoshuvu yachanu lifnei Piachiros. They should go back and camp in front of Piachiros. Rashi tells us, why is it called Piachiros? It's the mouth, Pi, the mouth, Chiros, the opening to Chiros, the opening to freedom, because that's where Klal Yisrael became free. And then Rashi adds in, this is also a place where you have two big, big, huge boulders, huge rocks, and a Hagai Beneim, and a valley between them. And the Chazal tell us, in Mitzrayim, never had a slave escape from Egypt before. There was in the constitution of Mitzrayim that anyone, any slave who was able to flee to, in between those two stones, had the right to go free. But with Kishuf and with all other barbaric means, they made sure that that area of land prior to getting to those two stones, or two rocks and boulders, was very, very, very well guarded. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kept alive, so to speak. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kept around. Out of all the Avodah Zorahs, which disintegrated, melted, splintered during Makas Bechoras, HaKadosh Baruch Hu kept Baal Tzfoin around. For what purpose? Klal Yisrael are going to come now back to Piachiros in front of Baal Tzfoin. Para and Mitzrayim, they say, oh, look at the Koyach of Baal Tzfoin. Not only did it not get this, it kept itself alive during Makas Bechoras, it's brought Klal Yisrael back. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say it's got nothing to do with the Avodah Zorah. And in fact, not only that, not only did Klal Yisrael yesterday go out of their own accord, today I'm going to bring them back and show you that even according to your constitution, they have the right to go out because they're walking straight through Piachiros. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, tell Klal Yisrael, v'yoshuvu v'yachanu, you go and tell them. Ask the Sfasemis, why does Moshe Rabbeinu have to tell them? The Rebbeinu was just giving them a couple of days ago an Amud Onan and Amud Esh. Just make the Amud Onan and the Amud Esh go back to Piachiros and Klal Yisrael will follow that. Why did he tell Moshe? So he says over him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all of what has happened throughout Shibud Mitzrayim, Geulat Mitzrayim, was all to prepare us to go to Har Sinai. And at this point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to see that they had Emunas Chachamim. Wanted to teach them the concept of Emunas Chachamim. And therefore, even though there was this mammoth Amud Onan and Amud Esh that would remain, stay put, and wouldn't move, Moshe, you go and tell them as their manig, V'yoshuvu v'yachanu v'yachiros. Even though the cloud's not moving, you follow what I tell you to do. This is the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They had Emunah in Nevius and Emunah in Moshe Rabbeinu. The Klal Yisrael come and they're standing by the Yam Suf. And they hear and they see the Egyptians chasing towards them. Amud Onan at the moment is still in front of them. Not only that, they see the Sar of Mitzrayim, the Malach of Mitzrayim descending to aid and help Mitzrayim. And they were petrified and they started to daven. The Gemara in Sotah Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph says, Kishe'omdu Yisrael al Hayom. Klal Yisrael was standing on the shores of the Yam Suf. Hayu Shevotim Menatzchim Zeh Zeh. They were trying to outdo one another. Each one wanted to overpower the other. Zeh Oimer, Ani Yoreh Tchila. This one said, I'm going to go down first. Liyom. Zeh Oimer, Ani Yoreh Tchila Liyom. That one said, no, I'm going to go down first. Between them deciding who's going to be first, Kofatz Nachshon Ben Aminadav Yorad Liyom Tchila. And because of that, eternally it's remembered as who was the one, because of whom, who was the one who it's because of him that the Yom Suf split, Nachshon Ben Aminadav. There was a darshan who was once asked, the darshan in the shul. So the gaboim came to him, they didn't know. He walked into shul, they needed someone to speak between Milch and Marek. No, Efshe Selevot. Said, nah, finish, Aredna, I can't. No, just go, we can say, it doesn't matter, something. We have to fill the time between Milch and Marek, we say something. So he gets up and he says, you know, Klal Yisrael was standing by the Yam Suf, the water was raging, the wind was blowing, and you could, you know, when we describe this to our children, we have to try and, or even to ourselves, we've got to try and imagine the roar of the wind and the vapor in the air that was hitting against their faces, and the noise of the night and the darkness of the as it's becoming night, and the Mitzrayim coming from behind. The Klal Yisrael are petrified. So there was one Yid, Geshem Ben Aminadav. He was thinking, should I go in? Should I not go in? Should I go in? Should I not go in? So this Geshem Ben Aminadav, he's like thinking, and people in the killer were, what? It's Nachshon Ben Aminadav, not Geshem Ben Aminadav. He's talking about this Gershom Ben Aminadav. He's not sure. Should he? Shouldn't he? He starts thinking, if I go in, I'll be most nefesh of Klal Yisrael. What's going to be with my family? What's going to be with my kids? What's going to be with my camels that I've just taken out of Mitzrayim? And this Gershom Ben Aminadav, so he finally decides, you know what? No, I'm going to jump in. And as he jumps in, he realizes that Nachshon Ben Aminadav got in there first. And had he not deliberated for that long, and when Shabino said, go, journey, move into the sea, he would have been the one, because of who? Nashon didn't make the Cheshbonos. Moshe Rabbeinu said, go, we move. That's what they learned just beforehand from Moshe Rabbeinu. Listen to what Moshe Rabbeinu says. That's how we've gone free. It wasn't Baal Tzvoin, nothing to worry about. No deliberation, no questions. When the God of Ador tells us, the Nevi Hashem says, do something, Nachshon Ben Aaron did it. But it was still a mysterious nefesh. Dan Erntroy said over the last Siyum HaShas that he was here, I don't remember whether it was his vot or he quoted it from somewhere, a beautiful vot. We say in Tehillim, we say in Hallel, Yehuda was Lekotcho. What is that referring to? When Kalisol came out of Mitzrayim, Beis Yaakov, the family, the household of Yaakov, Me'amloyes, from a nation that spoke a foreign language, it was Yehuda that was the one that was Makadish Shem Shomayim. Meaning, who was the Nasi of Shemet Yehuda? Nachshon Ben Aminadav. And he was Makadish Shem Shomayim by jumping into the Yamsuf first, and boy, my man, no fish until the point where the Yamsuf split. If that's the case, and that's what it's referring to, should it not have said, Hoya Yehuda Lekodshoi? It was a male, it was Nachshon Ben Aminadav, the man. And therefore you use male tense, you use masculine tense. It should have said, Hoya Yehuda Lekodshoi. What's Hoya Saw Yehuda Lekodshoi? There's nothing in this world, there's no act of Mesiris Nefesh that anyone can do which isn't embedded in our Nefesh and in our Neshama from previous days. And every bit of Mesiris Nefesh that we are able to perform, we attribute those koichas to Avraham Avinu. That's why he's called Avraham Avinu, because of the Nisyonis that he went through. And every Nisyon that a person goes through, one bequeaths to one's descendants the koichas to prevail through those Nisyonis. Where did you, Nachshon Ben Aminadav, who was the Nasi of Shevet Yehuda, get that koyach from, that in the face of everything, he was able to be Moisei Nefesh? He got that from his ancestress, Tamar. Hence, says David HaMelech, if you want to know, how did Nachshon Ben Aminadav have the koyach to be the first one, without deliberation, without any consideration, Moshe Rabbeinu said move, he was the first one to jump in, because he had the inspiration, and the koyach, and the koyach in his nefesh to do it from Tamar. Hayesah Yehuda Lekodshoi. It came from the feminine tense. Yes, because it came from the matriarch Tamar, the matriarch of Shevet Yehuda. And we've seen that the whole way. This is one of the beautiful stories of Ramiya Shapiro. I was just recently hearing about the preparations for the next Siyum Hashas, which is going to be in a year and a half, or whenever it's going to be, sometime when it's going to be in the next year, I think, 1st of January, whatever it is. People talk about, this is Ramiya Shapiro's brainchild, his brainwave. And they say over that at that Knesio Gedoyla, when he proposed the idea of the Daf Hayomi, the Chofetz Chaim came up to him afterwards and said to him, Reb Meirke, he's almost double his age, Ich bin euch mekane, I'm jealous of you. He says, I only just think, you know, every year we say Sifrei Chaim and Sifrei Meisim Psuchim. So we learn that, some people learn that means those who are going to live and those who are not going to live. So he says, no, Sifrei Chaim also can mean those who are alive, but Sifrei Meisim, those who are no longer alive. What's the din? They've had their din, they had their din, I got well after they were lifted. He says, no. But some people, like David HaMelech said, Aguro ba'alecho elamim, give me the opportunity to say over Torah that people will repeat after I am being lifted. And about that, Chazal tell us, Sif Soisa of Dover Vais Bekever, and maybe he accumulates more Zchusim, said this Chofetz Chaim. Every year they're going to bring your neshama back on Rosh Hashanah to the Beis Din Shamala, and they're going to say to you, Rameka, you've just gone up another millions of dargas. Why? Because you'll have benkelech um benkelech ongefield mit blätter von Shas. You'll have benches and benches piled up with pages of Shas that Yidden have learned because of your idea. And the Chofetz Chaim said to him, Ich bin ach mekana, not because of that. To have that idea, that's a gift min hashamayim, a world-changing idea to be planted into your mind. That's a gift. Oh, but you've got to have the dumb one something to have been zocher to have that gift given to you. And that's what I'm jealous of. What did you do? What was it that you did that gave you this, the siyata d'shamayim, to have this brainwave? So he turned to the Chofetz Chaim and he said, I never did anything. So it wasn't me, it was my mother. He said, I once, when I was a really young boy, I came home one day, my mother was beside herself, and I asked her, what's up? So she said, I don't have money to pay your melamed, and I've fallen behind. And he said to me, look, Pasha, you know, we'd love to carry on teaching you, but he needs to be in front of his mishpacha. And he can't come back if he can't carry on teaching. And I don't know what I'm going to do, and you're not going to have him allow me. So he says, so I turned to my mother, and I said to her, no. Okay, so next week. And he says, and she was even more beside herself, and she said, Meirke, if Vashtenish was made, that tog's learning. You don't understand what a day's learning is. He said, I was so inspired by those words that I went out and I was determined to try and find something that would ensure there would never be a day of a day go by in a Yid's life without him being able to learn. And as the idea developed and I was playing in the sandpits with my friends, with the boys and girls of our shtetl, I would tell them about this idea that I have, that everyone in Kali Sol should be learning the same blatt in Shas, and that way everyone's connected wherever they are in the world, and everyone's together in this cycle, and then a day doesn't go by without Torah being learned. And that's where it came from. There's a sequel to that. This, they say that after the idea was accepted by the Gedolei Yisrael, and that year, famously that first year, that first Rosh Hashanah, was the Ger Rebbe, the Imre Emes, I think it was, who said, told his Tzibur, bring me a Shas, and he learned through the first stuff. And in those days, it wasn't like we had the Gemaras that we have available today. They say that throughout that night and the next day, there were Chaburas standing under lanterns in the streets of Ger, learning together the first daf in Shas. So Chaburas throughout that Rosh Hashanah, first daf Aleph, daf Beit, daf Gimel, and it caught on, until it became something that Klal Yisrael was learning Shas. And I may have passed through one of the Shetlach, and he went to the house of the Rebbe there. He wants to speak to the Rebbe. Interesting thing, Meir Shapiro was the Lublina Rosh Yeshiva wants an audience with the Rebbe. Wasn't really kafi the way he was misnaying, or what was it? Oh, for shtetl, he comes in there, and with his humility, he says, look, I just wonder, do you remember that when we were kids, we used to play in the same sandpit together? So, yeah. So, do you remember I used to tell you about my dream that Klal Yisrael should be learning a thing, and you all used to make fun of me? So he says, I've come to tell you that it's actually happened. Not because I want to settle scores with you. That's not my objective. But one thing I do want to tell you. Machnish avek the cholam finakind. Never machavek the dream of a child, because you never know what that's going to happen. What's going to happen with that dream? You never know what's going to happen with that dream. The Ponovich Arav, people used to go to him when he was already an older man, and he used to have these ideas of building the yeshiva and building Nevar. He said, Rebbe, Rosh Yeshiva, Echolim. He said, Yo, Echolim, Abich Shlofnish. And that's we've got to know that's where Mesiras Nefesh comes from. And Mesiras Nefesh comes from, there's a famous story about Rav Shmuel Vosner's mother. The well-known story there, the Mesiras Nefesh, that because of what she gave up, a career as an opera, potential opera superstar, because the Kapishnitzer ever told her, if you give that up, I promise you, you'll have a child whose Torah lights up the world. When Don Segal found this story, went back and started to, and went and inquired, found out that the child of this young prodigy, potential prodigy, who was it? It was none other than Rav Shmuel Vosner. He went and he asked Rav Shmuel Vosner, it's true, this is the story. He says, I don't know about the story, if it's true or not. All I do know is that my mother kept on telling me, you don't know what I gave up that you should become a Talmud Chacham. But where did it come from? The inspiration comes from the Emois in Klal Yisrael, and that's the Hoyosa Yehuda Lekodshe. It actually fits beautifully with the Vat that we may have said in previous years, but it's worthwhile repeating it. It comes to the end of the Shira. There's this random, seemingly random pasuk, Rav Shimon Shvav, the Mefarshim all pointed out. Rav Shimon Shvav has a beautiful pshat on. We finished the Shira. Tipol Aleim, Wasif Hachad, Tivraim, Wasitem, Ma'achot, Mokhoi Nishiv, Tvalat Hashem, Mikdosh, Hashem, Kodin, Uyodecho, Hashem, Yim, Loich, Lo'elam, Void. Kivosus Paroi, Barich, Mefarsh, Vayom. When Paroi came with his chariots and his horsemen into the sea, Hashem, Vayoshev, Hashem, Aleim, Asmei, Ayom, Vabnei, Sohach, Vayamashem, Vesoy, Chayom. We learned that the whole parasha prior to the Shira tells us about how Klal Yisrael went into the sea. The sea spit for them, and when Sus Paro Berichma came in, they got drowned in the sea. Well, what's this last pasuk that we say every day? Kiva Sus Paro, when the Sus Paro came. So Rav Shimon Shvab says it's actually, even though there may be a pay, it's an introduction to the next bit. That's pasuk Yutes. Pasuk Chof is Vatikach Miriam Hanavio Achois Arias Atoy Piyoda Vatitzenakol Anoshim Achareo Vesuvim Yemcholes Vatanlo Miriam Shirul Hashem. There was this whole song that went with all the women led by Miriam where they sang the Oz Yoshu. So the Shulam Shvab, you know what the end of the Shira is? That last posuk of the Shira, or the actual Shira, is an introduction to something tremendously great. What happened was like this. Klal Yisrael, the menfolk of Klal Yisrael, they saw the whole of Perek Yudalad. Yitzrayim chasing after them, Yitzrayim entering onto the seabed, the sea crashing down on them. Not only that, they were still a bit worried, maybe the Mitzrayim did get out on the other side, like we got out on this side, they got out on the other side. Then, once they saw the Mitzrayim were gone, that was the men. We finish off the Shira. Ki vasus, when the horse of Paroi, Berichwei Uforosha, with his horsemen and his chariot, and his horsemen, and they entered into the sea. And Hashem, Ayosha, Hashem, Alem, Hashem, Beniso, and Beniso were walking by Abosha, Mesoy Chayom. When that was happening, Batikach Miriam and Abiyah, Fisaranis, Atobiyodo, Batitelekon, Anosha, at that same time, Miriam and Abiyah went and sang Shira with the women. Before they got out and saw the Mitzrayim dead al Sasayom. Because their Munah was so strong, that before they even came out of the Yamsuf, they were already singing Shira. By the men, it was what they waited, by Yosha Hashem, by Yahya Salis Bisayim, 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 then they sing, okay, no danger anymore, Oz Yoshu. But by the women, no kiva, when Paro was coming in, and he was entering into the Yamsuf, and the Mitzrayim were being drowned. At that point, and Kalisom was still walking through, the women were already singing Shira. Because their emunah was so stark that even at that time they already were so positively sure HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saving them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is redeeming them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking them out of Mitzrayim never to return, that they already sang Shira then. And that was the inspiration for Klal Yisrael. That's when we finished off the Shira. The climax of the Shira is, we all sang it once we got out, once we were sure there was no danger, and the women were singing it whilst they were still in there. They had that emunah which was so steadfast, and that's what really was the schus noshim tzidkanios, yotzu b'nei Yisrael b'mitzrayim. It was in the schus of the noshim tzidkanios and the emunah. Just jump back to the beginning of the parasha. Right at the beginning of the parasha, we're told about really quite an astounding piece of information. Vayehi b'shalach paros aram v'nochem lekim derech ha'shvit k'karevu. And took them derech hamidbar yamsu v'chamushim olu b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. So Chazal tell us what's v'chamushim. They came on mezuyonim, they were armed. Otherwise you can ask the question, hey, how did they fight Amalek? How did they fight the Amalek later on? How did they fight this one, that one? Don't worry, v'chamushim, they took with them armor, and that's how they had, that's the one shot in Rashi. Tomar acher chamushim Echad mechamisha yotzu, v'arba chalokim mesu b'shloisha simei afeir. It's a shocking piece of information, or the famous information that we know, that in the first 3 days of Makas Choshech, 4/5 of Klal Yisrael, who either were not ma'aminim or didn't want to leave Mitzrayim, died in those simei afeir. The unbelievable. That's what happened. Tarim Yonis Menuzio. This is a fascinating piece of information. He says, on those words, V'chol chad, v'chamushim means, V'chol chad, each one, in chamsho taflin, with 5 kids, with 5 children, sliku b'nei Yisrael, me'ar de Mitzrayim. That's how Klal Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim. Bit of a weird, actually, it doesn't really stim. We know Klal Yisrael had shisha b'keres echad. They were having 6 in a go. And they had multiple births with multiple times, multiple births. But suddenly when they left Mitzrayim, everyone left with 5 children. What happened to them? 4/5 died. The 4/5 doesn't leave you with only 5. Oh. There's another thing that this is in the source of my son, Ari Dave. He showed me today a Yalkut Shimoni. Later on in the Shira, Nochisa bechastecha amzuga alta. Nochisa, you led bechastecha. Touch that normally. You led bechastecha with your kindness, Hashem. Nochisa bechastecha amzuga alta. So the Yalkut Shemoni, Nochisa Bechastacha, Zug Milas Chasodim, Bizchus Gemilus Chasodim, Yotsu Mimitzrayim. In Nochisa, you led them Bechastacha because of the chesed that you recognized that they did. And that's why you took them out of Mitzrayim. This is the Chofetz Chaim in his Sefer Avas Chesed in Chelek Beis Parakein. In the note there, he brings from a Tana Debe Eliyahu in Perek Chof Gimel. Kishahoyu b'nei Yisrael b'mitzayim v'roh sha'ashibud hoylech miskaber kol yoyim. Kali saw in Mitzrayim, and they saw the Shibud becoming worse and worse and more severe every single day. And Parah took away every source of assistance that would help them to do what they needed to do. What did Kali Yisrael do? They were despairing. What did they do? V'loi hoyo lahem shum eitzo li'inot ha'migzer oisav. Shal Parah. Ma also, what did they do? Says the Tana Debe'er Yo, Niskab Tzukulam. They gathered together, V'yoshvu ba'agudo achas, V'korsu bris yachad, Sheyasu gemilus chasodim zeim ze. We're in dire straits, we're finished. The truth is, we can do nothing, we're finished, we're done. But you know what? Whatever we can do for each other, we're gonna do that. Sha'al yidei ze yis'orel lamalo chesed shal Hashem yisvarach aleim, u'mimelo yivaklu libisoyf tzidei reisho shal parah. They understood, they saw with clarity, this is an insane decree, it doesn't make sense that there should be such achzorius on us. The only way we can do that is if we band together and we say, right, we've got to do gemilus chasadim with one another. That's the only way we'll be ma'ir rachmei shamayim, that there should be gemilus chasadim, there should be for us. The Targum Yerushalmi, on these words, when he says over here, that they went out with Mitzrayim, he says, "Udvar mimer da Hashem yas amo irach b'madbaro di yamsuf mezaynin." They were armed, but oivoda tova with good deeds. They were armed with good deeds. That's how they came out of Mitzrayim. The v'chamushim olu b'nei Yisrael says they were armed with good deeds. One way of understanding that they were armed with these good deeds that they did, the chesed that they did with each other in Mitzrayim. Of the Sigur Be'er Yosef says a beautiful pshat. He says, unfortunately, what happened in Shlesha Simei Afela, 4/5 of Klal Yisrael died. That means that for every family that remained, there were 4 lots of parents that didn't make it, didn't get out. So there were, for every family that had parents, there were 4 families that had no parents. And Klal Yisrael adopted, every family adopted 4 other families who were left without parents after Makas Choshech. That was part of what Klal Yisrael's, they said to each other a year before when the Shimud got so difficult, there's only one way out. We're going to be doing Gemilus Chasadim Zeh and Zeh. And it worked. The Shimud stopped, the Makas started, but the Chesed didn't stop. And what happened in Makas Choshech? 4/5 of Klal Yisrael were Nifter. There's 4 families who don't have parents. Each remaining family took on for themselves 4 families as part of that Gemilus Chasadim. So that you find that when Klal Yisrael left, v'chamushim olu b'nei Yisrael, what he means is, v'kolchad im chamsho taflin, every family left with 5 sets of children, their own plus 4 others. And that was the Gemilus Chasodim, that's how Klal Yisrael got out of Mitzrayim. With that tzchus, we're told, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Klal Yisrael, koyama Hashem, zochayti lo chesed nuraych avas pulul v'soych, lechteich acharay b'amibo v'eretz v'zuruah. I remember you followed me, you came. So chayz lo chesed nuraych, avas klulay soich. So what's the avas klulay? That you love me? So lech techach rabba mibo, eres lezuro. What's the first bit? So chayz lo chesed nuraych. What chesed? The chesed with Hashem? No. I remember the chesed you did with one another. Where every family took out another 4 under their wing. So chayz lo chesed nuraych, you did with one another. And that's the first thing that I remember. Coupled with avas klulay soich, he also had ava to me in lechte rachar b'amir b'eretz v'ezruah. It was the chesed, the chesed, the emes yichu paravin. There's 2 things with which we go out of golus, with which we would have kapara for our averus. The chesed, the emes. In fact, one other thing that Klal Yisrael did, Parah actually stopped this towards the end of the shibud, and that's what's very interesting. The Chassam says as well, a beautiful thing. He says it's really on last week's parashah. He says on Pesach. Parah realized that after a certain bit of time, that in the last year, he stopped this thing that Moshe Rabbeinu had made, that on Shabbos they didn't have to work. And what did they do on Shabbos when they didn't have to work? First of all, it was B'nai Levi used to come on Shabbos and teach them over Torah that they'd be learning all week. Klal Yisrael knew, even in the desperate matzah that they were, they needed to keep a Shevet Levi sitting in the Beis HaMedrash all week. Where were they going to get food from? Chse Chazal, Klal Yisrael made a rota between them and gave of their rations a portion of their ration was given to Shevet Levi. And they took it, it was a rotu to give over to make sure the Shevet Levi, and on Shabbos, what did they do? They had Megillahs. of Torah Sa'ovas, of Emunah. And they sat down and they learned that and they were taught that. It was that Shabbos, Hagodol, in Mitzrayim, before I had been Mevatel a year before, part of the intensifying of the Shibud was that there was no day a week to rest. Until that point, Moshe Rabbeinu, close to 80 years before, had made sure there was a Shabbos which they never had to work on. Parah was Mevatel. And suddenly they came on that Shabbos Hagadol, and they were walking around with a sheep. Oh, what's going on here? I thought you only work for us because we're forcing you to do it, but other malachas you won't do. And suddenly you're here, you're taking a Baal Chai. So they thought it was because they kept Shabbos that the Mitzrayim Chap then, listen, it's really all over. And they didn't say a word, and they realized they couldn't do anything. But that's why we call Shabbos as a Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because it was through the fact that we kept Shabbos in Mitzrayim that the Mitzrayim realized that this was a mitzvah that we were doing. That it wasn't because Pyro was mevatled, we're not allowed to keep Shabbos anymore. That's why we were being machal the Shabbos. Now we're taking this. What are you taking this for? The Makkos have started.
They took the Korban Pesach on Shabbos.
That's why it's called Shabbos Hagadol, because that year, the 10th of Nisan was on a Shabbos. Mm-hmm. By then, they were already not working the whole week. Because they were meant to be keeping Shabbos. So why are you taking? Until now, you've been keeping Shabbos always, and so now you're not. Ah, it must be because you have a tibur and the gula is starting. That's one of the parts of the. But let's not digress. Kali saw when they left the Yam Suf, and Shabbeinu has to encourage them to leave. The Bizas Hayom was so overwhelming that Vayasa Moshe has to, okay, Kali saw it's time to move on. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes them on a journey. He takes them to a place called Mara. There's obviously a purpose why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants them to go to this place. And they arrive at a place called Mara. And in Mara there was water. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes them on a journey for 3 days, knowing full well this is a journey where they're not going to have any water. They're going to be thirsty for water, desperately parched. I'm going to bring them to a place where the water is bitter, so they can't drink it. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from Klal Yisrael? They complain to Moshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, right, take a piece of wood over there, which has a sharp, horrible taste, throw it into the water, the water becomes sweet. And they drink. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them via Moshe a whole lot of mitzvahs. Shabbos, Paraduma, Kibud Avayim, Mishpatim, Dinim. What is going on over here? So the Kliyoko says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was actually preparing them to be able to go and learn Torah. There's a difference in the Mechilta as to what exactly was the wood. What type of wood was it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him? And one of the Pshatim in the Medrash says that it was a Zayis, one is a Arava, one's a Hardufni, Rav Shimon Nechai says it was Torah itself, it's Eitz Chaim in the Machazikim. But the Kliyaka says, if it was the olive, what was the purpose? What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu want them to do? To take a wood from an olive tree. So Chazal say, Loma Nimshalo Tahatoya Lezayis, Ma zayis ze tchilose mar v'soyfe mosoik af divrei Torah kei. Divrei Torah is the same thing. This is something which I wish that we could all, those we've all been through it, where we began learning the difficulty and the hardship of just trying to learn. And the only way is to carry on and carry on and carry on and break through and immerse oneself in it, and eventually it becomes geshmak. So it's the same thing, an olive at the beginning. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show Klal Yisrael over here, I want you to know, first of all, I want you to believe in me and believe in my Torah. You've been in Mitzrayim for 210 years, and the hashpah and the effect of Tumas Mitzrayim has profoundly affected and infected your nefashos. How am I going to heal that? How am I going to remedy that? How am I going to make you the Am Hashem? How am I going to make you shayach to the Torah I want to give you? You know how? With Torah. Torah is going to remedy you, exactly like a medicine. Most medicines do not taste nice. They remedy a person, they bring about the healing, they take away the ailment. Torah is going to do exactly that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to prepare them for that. So he takes them to a place called Mara. He takes them to a place where they're thirsty, they're famished, they're parched, they're desperate for a drink. There's nothing to drink. How are we going to drink this? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? You take something that's bitter, and you add it to something that's bitter, and this, from that, you throw yourself in. You take that zayis, you immerse it in the water. And the beginning, Torah, learning at the beginning, is bitter. It's hard, it's tough. It's not geshmak. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu tells us in next week's parasha, that kol ha'scholos kosher. It's difficult, but when one immerses oneself in it, and one sees that this is what, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu took them there, and that's why he gave them these mitzvahs. He wanted to show them as well that HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created everything Yesh Me'ayin. And it's all his creation from the Torah. And from the Torah we find out how everything's going to work. And that's how we're remedied, and that's how we grow, and that's how we become who we become. And therefore he gives them the mitzvah of Shabbos. Shabbos also shows us Emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one that created the world, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives into us a neshama. We have a neshama yisera on Shabbos, exactly like we had a neshama at the beginning. Shabbos, we get a new neshama. It's mechazek in us that the belief in chidush ha'olam, in the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world yesh me'ayin, exactly like HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the sweetness of this water me'ayin, from nothing. The water was bitter. The wood that he threw in there was bitter, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it sweet. So he says, I want you to know that's because I created the world, and everything comes from from the world, and it also comes from Torah. And therefore he gave them the mitzvah of Shabbos, he gave them the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em, which is also to show us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the third shutuf. There's Kibud Av V'Em, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's also been Mechabed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that we should know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us and keeps us alive constantly. That's part of what Mora is. He gave us also Paraduma, which was to teach us as well that you've got to get ready for keeping Torah, where you don't necessarily understand everything. But that's why he gave us Paraduma. And he gave us also dinim that we should know, we should be able to be involved in the learning of Torah mitzvahs, preparing us for it. It's a nice remez he brings at the end. We'll finish with this, where he says that in the Aseres Hadibros, in next week's parasha, when it talks about the Shabbos and the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em, which are always, as we see in Parashas Kedoshim, as well, they're always juxtaposed to one another. So when it tells us here in the Aseres Hadibros about Zohar is Yom HaShabbos L'Kadshoi, Sheish Yisomim Tavoid, V'Yom HaShvi, Kishesh Yisomim Matzah Shem Zohar, Al-Kim Be'erach HaShem Yom HaKadoshayu, Kabei Desavicho Ve'asimecho, Tumani Yaruchim Yomecho, Al-Adam HaShem Elokechem Lo'isino. That's in Parshas Yisrael. And when we're told about it, again, in Parshas, it says there, when we're told about the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em, it says, Kasha Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha. Like HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded you. Where did HaKadosh Baruch Hu command us? Keep Shabbos, keep Kibud Av V'Em. What's it? Kasha Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha. In Mara. So there's a Kliyokar that's hinted to. The Sefer Teva is Ka'asher, is a Reish. Tzivcha is a Chof, it's 220. Hashem is a Hey, it's 225. Elokecha is a Chof, 245. The Gematria of Mara. Kasha Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha. Where? In Mara. That's why the Sefer Tevis of those words add up to Mara. That's what he says as well. The Sefer Tevis of Ve'ele Hamishpatim Asher Tosim Lifnim. So Ve'ele is a Hey, Hamishpatim is a Mem, Asher. So the letters of Mara. Where were we first taught Mishpatim? Before Bahar Sinai. We were taught them in Mara, and that's why it's said over there. Para, he says as well, that Para Asher Ein Boy Mum. Para Adum, we're told it's not allowed to have a Mum. So he says, take the Mem, which hints to a mum, as we see in Parshat Vayishlach. It says there that Yaakov Avinu sent min habar b'yodoi, and he sent a whole load of animals, and there's one pasuk over there where all the words in the pasuk end in a letter mem. And the Rechaim HaKadosh says it's because he sent him animals which were all baalei mumim. That's why he sent it. So the mem represents a mum. So you take a para, asher ein boy mum. Para, what's the gematria of para? Pei is 80, resh is 280, and hey is 5, 285. Take out the mem. Asher Ein Boy Mem, doesn't have a mem in it, doesn't have a mum. You're left with 245, the Gematria of Mara. And that was also given to us, that mitzvah in Mara. So all these things are hinted to. Shabbos, Kibud Av V'Em, Dinim, and Para, all hinted to, they were given to us in Mara. Why? All is preparation for receiving Torah. To realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Kadmon, he created the world, he created Yesh Me'ayin, he created us, he created our parents, and that's where we come from. To know as well that Torah is something which he's going to give it to us, but it's going to be exactly like the water was there. In the beginning it's hard, after that it becomes easy. Shabbos is Chidush Ha'olam, Kibud Av V'Em is Chidush Ha'olam, and Dinim and Parah Adumah, to know that we delve into Dinim, but we also know that sometimes it's a chok, and we don't understand everything that there is. That's at the end of the parasha we have then in Melchemes HaMolek, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us from then on, and what we're waiting for is the annihilation of Amalek. And that's a unique to very interesting, it's a shaykhist particularly to this year, because the Rishonim bring down, I think it's the Chizkuni that says, when Moshe Rabbeinu told Yeshua, Bechar lecho anoshim, he said, go and choose for yourself, apparently Yud Zayin, Pasuk test, Vayomer Moshe Yeshua, Bechar lonu anoshim etzihi lochim ba'amalek. So the Chizkuni there, in Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk test, בחר לנו אנשים שנולדו בעדור השני ואין להם לירה ממחשפס. They're born in Ad Hashini, they don't need to be worried about Kishuv. Why? Shari ain't by mazel. Ad Hashini doesn't have a mazel. Ubnei Amalek mechashvim him. What does Kishuv do? It's all manipulating the mazalos. Yesh lem mechayis v'yud beis mazalos. Ubnei she'ain by mazel ain't Kishuv ha-matzliach. That's why choose for us anoshim means what type of people are born in Ad Hashini. It's interesting that's significant to this year, which doesn't have its own muzzle, what it means is we're tachas the hashkocha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the truth is that the whole time ain't muzzle in Yisrael. We never really, if we put ourselves under the mazalos, then we're governed by the mazalos. But we have the ability to ascend way, way above the mazalos. I want it to descend as well, but to ascend way, way above the mazalos. How is that? The chesed the emes, by doing chesed with one another. And by emes, engaging in Torah, if through those two, we're able to extract ourselves from under the mazalos and ultimately from under the golos of Amalek.